have to do something. I says, well, I don't have a tie, Brother Ivy. He says, well, you can't come in here looking like that. He says, you go out there and find something. I, what are you going to do? I went out there and dug around in the truck and dug around. And finally, the only thing I could find that would make a halfway makeshift tie was a set of jumper cables. So the best way I could, I tied them around my neck and got them all straight, kind of put a bow on it, and I come in. Brother Ivy says, well, I reckon I'll let you on in. He says, but don't be starting nothing. Amen. Some of you are going to catch that directly. Well, I want you to turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 1. And I want to, as you're turning to Exodus chapter 1 tonight, I want to say thank you for the wonderful hospitality. And I tell you, the singing has been a blessing, hasn't it? And I've certainly enjoyed it all week. And we're going to be reading about two women in the Word of God, two Jewish women that were responsible for saving the lives of countless, maybe even thousands upon thousands of human beings. And we have the record of these two ladies right here in Exodus chapter 1. And I want you to read it with me. You follow along as we begin here. And I'm going to read starting in chapter 7 of Exodus 1. Verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake unto the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere or before the midwives come in unto them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Let us go to the Lord in prayer once more. Tonight as we pray, I want to remind you of something. And I'm sure that Brother Ivy is 100% with me on this. These altars are wide open. Did you know these altars, we call them altars, these steps where you can come down and pray? You know, you can come anytime during the service. You never have to wait to the invitation if God's moving on you. As a matter of fact, be obedient And that's how you see revival. Now, I know some people aren't physically able to make it down to the altar. You make an altar prayer where you are. But anytime the Holy Spirit moves, you pray. Amen. Let's go to the Lord. Father, tonight we thank you for the good word of God. We thank you utmost for Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, who shed his precious blood in payment for our sins and rose again the third day. And Father, Lord, let him be exalted, Father, in this message. Let your Son have the preeminence. And God, please draw us to a closer walk with thee. Save that which is lost, I pray, Father. And now take these lips of clay, Father. Use them for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, all God's people say, amen, amen, and amen. How many of you going to name your next girl child Pua? Oh, come on now. I looked these names up in my concordance I don't know how long ago it's been. But their names mean something. The Hebrew midwives, their names mean something. I want to share with you what their names mean. Shifra means beauty. And Pua means splendor. And I'm going to tell you something today, folks. Every person that's accepted Jesus Christ has those two attributes. Amen. You see, the Christian today, we're going to do a lot of application from this. Now, I know you're not, most of you are probably not Jewish. Maybe there's somebody here that is Jewish. And probably most of you, your occupation is not the service of a midwife. But I promise you today, there's so much application for the church that we find in the lives of these two women. These two women stood up for what was right, even when it was dangerous to do so, and even when it was hard to do that. God's called you and I to stand up for what's right, even if nobody else is doing it. And I know you've heard it before, but I want to remind you again. If you're standing with God, you're in the majority. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the world does. If you are on the Word of God and you're standing with God, you're in the majority. Amen. And these ladies were very, very dedicated to the Lord. You know, the theme of this week, if I haven't reminded you tonight, is seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's talk about the background, and then we're just going to go right into this thing. You know, there was a new Pharaoh in this time. Boy, I tell you what, it's a sad commentary when you read about it, because listen carefully. There was a Pharaoh before this Pharaoh that loved Joseph. But by this time, Joseph has already passed on, and Joseph is more or less forgotten in the land of Egypt. But the Pharaoh during the days of Joseph, that Pharaoh loved Joseph, and he loved Joseph's people, the Hebrews. But you know, it's amazing what a few short years can do. And now there's a new Pharaoh on the throne, and now things are becoming hard on the people of God. Wake up, America. I'm telling you, this is not the same country we were in 40 years ago. Listen to me carefully. Whether you know it or not, our culture is changing in this country. It's taking a paradigm shift, if you will, away from the way it used to be. Well, what are you, Brother Tim? Are you living in the past? No, but I remember in the 1960s, and I remember in the 1970s, when everybody was settled on the fact that abortion was murder. Now, I'm telling you today, folks, God hasn't changed on that thing. You see, this Pharaoh that came to the throne, he had forgotten about Joseph, didn't even know Joseph, and he cared not about the things of the Hebrew people. He cared not about what they had taught the Egyptians about the true and the living God. And now we find that he wants to try to destroy all of the male babies of the Jews. And he goes to the Jewish midwives to carry this thing out. He says, when they have a baby, you go to deliver that baby. If it's a boy, you kill it. And you know what they did? They just flat refused. I wished I could get an amen on that. Now, let me tell you, this Bible teaches we're to obey the laws of the land, but that's only up to a point. When the laws of this land become so corrupt that the laws of this land tell me that I have to defy the very word of God, that's where I draw the line. Now, folks, we still need to preach that abortion's a sin, but we need to preach on the underlying sins of abortion. You better listen to me. Hey, abortion's murder. But I'm telling you, we're not preaching on the underlying sins of abortion anymore. And we need to get back to that. And I'm going to tell you what the underlying sins of abortion are: the sin of fornication and the sin of adultery. And you know what? We don't preach on that anymore. The majority of abortions today are done out of a situation where they want to cover up a mistake, and it's usually done because of fornication and because of adultery. When are we going to start preaching again against those sins? The Bible makes it plain, folks. Hey, we need to stand up for what's right even when it's difficult, even when it's hard. By the way, what do you call that? Standing up for what's right, and even when it's hard. Hey, standing up for what's right and doing what's right even when nobody's looking. That's called integrity, isn't it? By the way, somebody's always looking. Who's that? You'll never escape the all-seeing eyes of the Lord. Amen? God sees everything. He knows what we do at all times. He knows what we're doing in the dark. He knows what we're doing when we're alone. Amen. It reminds me of a story about a little boy whose dad was a thief. This little boy, he was 4 or 5 years old, and his daddy was a thief in the community. And one day he sent his little boy across the road to go into a neighbor's cornfield and steal some corn. And he told the little boy, he says, "Son, I want you to go across there, and I want you to steal us some corn." But he told the little boy, he said, "But before you cross the road," he said, "you look both ways before you cross that road." The little boy looked up at his dad, and he says, "Daddy, what about looking up?" The little boy had it. Amen. God sees and God knows. And we're to do what's right. Why? We're the people of God. Let me tell you something today, folks. We made a commitment to the Lord when we got saved. Did you know that? Did you know you made a commitment to the Lord when you joined this church? Did you know you made a commitment to the Lord if you're married today at the altar? You know, the Bible says, listen carefully. The Bible warns us against taking vows. Listen carefully. The Bible says it's better not to vow a vow if you're not going to keep that vow. You'd be better off not to even made the vow. In fact, the Bible warns against vowing vows. But there's one vow that the Bible honors, and it's the holy sanctity of marriage. Can I get a witness? I want to tell you something today. We need to stand up for what's right, no matter who is not. Amen. Let's talk about some of the points here. These ladies refused to carry out Pharaoh's order. And you know what the Bible says? It's better to fear God than to fear man. You know, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But I'm telling you, whoso puts his trust in the Lord, the Bible says, shall be safe. Amen. Can I give you a little word of advice? Something I've learned. You go ahead and fear God, and then you won't fear man so much. But if you fear man, you won't fear God. Okay, this Pharaoh instructs them. The political structure here has changed. This Pharaoh is wanting to eliminate the numbers of the Jews. You know, he took away, if you will, their rights. And we see a steady, gradual decline of the position of the Hebrews in Egypt. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. If God don't change things here in this country, we're seeing a gradual, steady decline of the God-given freedoms that this country has enjoyed now for 200 years. And it's ever so subtle, and it's ever so gradual. Christian integrity, doing what's right, even when it's hard. They did the right thing, and the Bible says God rewarded them. God saw it. It says in the text that God gave them houses. Did you see that? They obeyed God, and it says God rewarded them. God gave them a posterity in the earth. God gave them houses. You know what the Bible says for you and I? Hey, Jesus said that he's already gone to prepare a place for us. Amen? Amen? That where he is, we may be also. Do you believe it? Amen. I know it. Amen. Doing what's right, the first point I want to talk about is doing what's right in your marriage. Now, if you're not married tonight, don't just throw the message over your shoulder. Who knows? You may be married one day. Some of you young people may be married one day. But the first thing I want to discuss with you from the Word of God is doing what's right in your marriage. The Bible says if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? There's an attack on the family today from the enemy. The devil is attacking our family today. And the family is one of the foundations in the book of Genesis. Hey, you can go through it, go back and look. God founded the family. Let me tell you something right now. Here's the order. Don't ever forget the order. If you keep it in this order, I'm telling you, everything will be healthy in your relationship with the Lord and your family and with your fellow man. God first, family second, and then your service in the church will come right along next. Amen. You find the family before you find the church. That don't mean you use family as an excuse to miss church every other service. Amen. What you might ought to do is drag some of your family to church. But I want to talk with you about doing the right thing in your marriage. Now let me go ahead and say this before I go any further. If you have gone through a divorce, I am not here tonight, nor is God here tonight, to stomp you and to beat you down, because we serve a merciful, loving, and forgiving God. And I want to tell you something today. If you've gone through the tragedy divorce and that thing's under the blood and you're serving the Lord, and hey, let me tell you something. You, Brother Tim is with you. Some of the people in our church down at Victory, we have some people that's gone through that, but yet they're some of the most faithful Christians today. They're serving God. Many of them went through divorce. It was of no fault of their own. I wanted to say that before I go any further. Aren't you thankful God don't throw the clay away? Is there one among us that has not sinned? If so, speak up. But let me say this. Divorce is killing the young people of our nation. I'm a public school teacher. I've been teaching public school for 20 years. My wife's been teaching school longer than that. Our combined experience, we've seen a lot of changes in the public school classroom. When I first started teaching some 20 years ago, as a matter of fact, a little bit, you know, maybe a little more than 20 years, because I would include my experiences as a substitute teacher. But when I first started teaching, the majority of the kids in my classroom, came from a two-parent home, where mom and dad was in the home, mom and dad was together in the home, and mom and dad was raising those children up together in a home where both parents were present. 20 years has passed, and now I've come to tell you, things have shifted. Any given year now, from 50 to 40 to 60, it just depends on the year, I have kids 60% sometimes, some years 50%, some years 40 or less, kids from broken homes. And it's eating their lunch. It is devastating. I've not come to beat you up tonight. Let me tell you something. If you've gone through that and you're serving God and that thing, hey, let me tell you something. You're with me. I'm trying to teach our young people something here tonight. Tell me you're with me. Somebody say amen. But I'm telling you tonight, something must be done. We have got to stand up for what's right concerning our marriages. Men and women, listen to me. That's a vow that you made before God and man, and God takes it serious. Hey, beloved, we talk about the sanctity of marriage with the new gay rights bills and the marriage bills. Let me tell you something. Most Christians don't even stop to think about what the sanctity of marriage is. The sanctity of marriage means this. God set it apart. God defined it. He said marriage is between one man and one woman for life. He defined that thing. And let me tell you something, folks. You dads need to listen to me. You ought to pray for your marriage every day. You young boys that's not married yet, you need to listen to me. You need to pray for your marriage every day. Don't think for a moment, hey, you Christian couples, listen to this pastor. Don't think for a moment that you've got the power to hold your marriage together. Let me tell you something. The Bible says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And let me tell you something. What me and Sister Becky can't do alone, we've got a third person there with us, and his name's Jesus Christ. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I got to looking that thing up one day. You'll find in Ecclesiastes, am I right, Brother Ivy? It's not just me and Becky holding our marriage together. It's me and Sister Becky and Jesus, amen, because we're praying daily, God, stand our marriage lest we fall. There's too much at stake, don't you understand? There's too much at stake. There's too much at stake, amen, for us to be flippant about our vow. Let me tell you something. We're not for the grace of God. Anybody in this room can fall, myself included. Amen. But I'm praying, God, stand our marriage. Let me tell you something about that threefold cord. That's you. Men, listen to me. If you're praying daily, you're born again, that's you and your wife, and that's Jesus Christ. And a threefold cord, the Bible says, is strong. It's not quickly broken. You know why that is? A threefold cord is a cable. One more time. A threefold cord is a cable. And I learned this a long time ago working in construction work. I learned a lot of things working in construction work, but some of that I had to throw out. But I learned a long time ago. Did you know a cable is stronger than a chain? Did y'all know that? If you don't know it, just pretend you do this. You know what? Hey, a chain is not as strong as a cable. And I learned this. I took an apprenticeship learning about this many, many years ago. The tighter you pull a cable, the more load that you put on a cable, the cable is designed and engineered to become stronger. In other words, the more you pull on a cable, the more load you put on it, the stronger the cable gets. It has something to do with the inner weavings and the twining in of the cables, the strands. You know, a rope's a cable. It's just a rope's a grass cable, I guess. But you know something about a chain? A chain's really not as strong as a cable. A chain is no stronger than its... Y'all could preach this thing. But when you're praying for your marriage, you've got that threefold cord. Do you pray for your marriage every day? Don't say nothing out loud. If not, why not? God, stand our marriage. God, thank you for the wife of my youth. Men, let me ask you something. Are you taking your eyes and your heart in places that they should never go? By the way, can I share something with you? All sin needs is an opportunity. One more time. Young people, listen to what the preacher's saying now. All sin needs is an opportunity. And you know what? The Bible says we're not to give it the opportunity. You see what? If you give sin an opportunity, the devil will kick your teeth out. He's waiting for that. Don't you understand? The Bible says we have an adversary, which is the devil. And the Bible says he's as... I really do like this part. I'm feeling the Holy Spirit. It says the devil is as a roaring lion. It don't say he is, because Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. Amen. Satan's a wannabe. The Bible says he is as a roaring lion, walking about to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And I'm going to tell you what, husbands, you better listen to me. And you young boys that's yet to be married, you teenage boys, and you boys in your 20s, you better listen to me. God's got a godly wife prepared for you if it's his will that you marry, and he's got a wife that's saved because you're saved. And if you're not saved tonight, what on earth are you waiting on? And I'm telling you, you ought to save yourself for the wife, and you ought to pray for that wife. Brother Tim, what are you, some kind of old-fashioned fuddy-duddy? No, sir, I've come to tell you what the Word of God says. That's the problem today. Folks, we're not willing to stand up like those two midwives and say, let me tell you something. You know what they had? They had integrity. They had backbone, amen. And you know what? They did the right thing. Thank God for people like that. You know what they said about Robert E. Lee? He was the very famous Civil War general. Robert E. Lee. You know what they said about him? Robert E. Lee would not allow his men, his troops, he would not allow them to use profanity in his presence. Now, can you imagine a bunch of army men? You've heard the old saying, you know, he cusses worse than a sailor. Army, infantry cusses worse than that. They're professional cussers. But Robert Lee says, you will not cuss in my presence. And by George, they didn't. I call that a man of integrity. He was a born-again Christian man. And I tell you what, he had principles and he had backbone. Brother Tim, you're just old-fashioned. No, you're going to find out. When Jesus comes back, man, I think I'm on the right track. And we all ought to be on the right track. Amen. Men, let me tell you something right now. You don't need to carry your eyes and you don't need to carry your heart in areas where you can destroy your life. Let me share something with you. Billy Graham said this many, many years ago. And you can scoff about it if you want to, but you just take it up with Billy Graham. And I thank God that he said it. Billy Graham said a long time ago, he said this. He said if he was in a building and he was walking up to an elevator, Billy Graham said if he was walking up to go into an elevator and there was a strange woman about to enter the elevator with him and it would be just him and her entering the elevator, Billy Graham would step back and he'd let her get on the elevator and he'd wait his turn. I thank God he had enough integrity to say that. Well, Brother Tim, that's old-fashioned. No, sir, that's a man that's keeping his guard up, and that's a man that don't want disaster to happen in his home and in his life and in his ministry. You know why he said he did it? Listen, Billy Graham said this. He said, you know why I do that? He said, number one, I'm a man. Boy, you can hear a cricket in here, couldn't you? Number two, he says, people like to talk. And even if nothing was going on, somebody'd like to have an opportunity to talk and run my ministry down. He said, so I'll just back up and I'll let the strange woman get on the elevator and I'll wait my turn. Now, men, let me tell you something today. Hey, you young people, you parents, please listen to me. Our kids right now have pornography at arm's length. Where are the Christian parents that are sounding the alarm? I hope and pray you're monitoring the cell phone use of your kids. If your kids has got a smartphone, this pastor's come to I'm a school teacher. You can put your lips out to me until you're blue in the face. I'm a school teacher. You're not going to convince me otherwise. I'm living it and I'm seeing it. They've got pornography at a fingertip. It's right there in the hand. Man, all they got to do is reach in the pocket and there's pornography. Pornography will destroy you. There's not a man that can handle it. It's taken down bigger men than you. It's taken down bigger men than me. You know what Job said? Job said this. Now, Job was a wise man. Job said, I have made a covenant. That's a promise. Job says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? You know what he meant? He said, I'm not going to let my eyes cause me to fall. Because it starts with a look. How many times have you ever heard this? Oh, there's nothing wrong with looking, Brother Tim. That's a beautiful woman. Nothing wrong with looking. Well, maybe you're right. I don't know. I'm not going to get into a debate with you. But let me say this to you. Job said he made a promise with his eyes. You know what he meant? I'm not going to look on a woman with that type of attitude, except my wife. And then I know what some of y'all saying. Well, Brother Tim, I mean, my wife just ain't as pretty as she used to be. Have you looked at yourself? I mean, man, have you bumped your head? Well, I mean, she used to be so pretty, so sweet. You've got hair growing out of your ears, man, and your nose. Hey, you could put curlers in your eyebrows. And you want to tell me that? You better go look in the mirror, man. Put some glasses on and go. Amen. I just don't know if I love her anymore. Well, why don't you just get right back in love with her, man? Hey, did you hear that? Love's a choice. You know that? I'm so sick of this TV love. It makes me want to throw up. You know that mess on TV that you see about love? That's not love. That's a fairy tale. You know how it is on TV, don't you? Oh, I saw her across the crowded room. I felt something hit me in the backside. It's Cupid. Reach back, pulled the arrow out, boy, I was in love. No, son, you don't even know her. That's lust. You know what love is? Love is something that comes with a commitment. Let me tell you something. Love is a choice. I don't believe I love her anymore. Well, just start loving her. What? Yeah, that's what I said. Love's a choice, amen. Love is something we do, Christian, amen. We choose to love the lost in this community because Christ loves them, amen. We're supposed to love our enemies, the Bible says. If I can love my enemy, to be sure I can love my wife. The Bible says that Becky and I are one. And if you're married today, you are one, amen. No man ever, I spent too much time on this poem, but I want to share something with you. We need to stand up for our marriages today. Because I want to tell you what, they're under attack. Pray for your marriage. Can I say one more thing? Men, listen to me. Don't place yourself in a compromising situation. But women, listen to me. You women, listen to me. And you men, you listen to me. You married couples and you single couples, listen to me. Especially if you're married. There's places you ought not go. Becky and I, when I started in the ministry, Brother Ivy, Becky and I knew early on, God showed us. And Becky and I made a covenant on this. I do not counsel women. One more time. I do not counsel women one-on-one alone in the prayer chamber as a pastor. You can scoff at me or you can say, Brother Tim, you must be some kind of a weak. No, sirree, Bob. All sin needs is an opportunity. If my wife can't be in the council chamber, then I will not meet with that lady. If Becky can't be there, then I'm going to call Mama. My mama's with me here tonight. She'll sit in on a council session if I asked her. Amen. All sin needs is an opportunity. If you don't give it an opportunity, then it's lost its opportunity. What did 1 Corinthians chapter 10 say? With every temptation, the Lord will give us a means to escape that temptation. Are you being tempted today? God's already given you a means to escape it. Now, why don't you take it? Amen. What about you teenagers? Are you placing yourself in a compromising situation? You need to do something about that. Some of you young girls, listen to me. Is a boy trying to press you to do things you ought not to do? Yeah. Drop him like a bad habit. You ought to first wring his ear. Slap the fire out of him. I mean, and when you do it, just tell him that's from Brother Tim King down at Victory. If he's trying to make advances on you, just slap him. And then leave him alone. You don't want no husband like that. Right. Amen. Amen. Hey, God's got somebody for you. And you need to be praying about who that is. I got to preach quick last night. You know I preached an hour. We know, Brother Tim, we know. I got to get out of here. I told Sister Becky, give me a signal when I've been preaching 30 minutes. And she never did say anything. She ignores me half the time. Do what's right in your marriage. Next, do what's right by your family. Let me tell you something. God instituted the family. You need to listen to me. Dads, I'm going to lean on you tonight because, Dad, you're the spiritual leader of your home. And I'm going to tell you, I wish that I could just sound this from the mountaintops. Dads, it's high time that we start having the integrity that those two midwives had right there. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Well, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Dads, listen to me. You're the spiritual leader in that home. I didn't say you was the spiritual dictator, and I didn't say you was a spiritual bully. The Bible says you're the spiritual leader. You're the priest of the home, if you will. And let me tell you something about that thing. The Bible says that God holds us responsible for guiding and modeling and leading our family to the Lord. Well, my family's already saved, Brother Tim. Praise God, your work's not done, but praise God they are. Because, see, you're going to lead them and you're going to disciple them. You know what? That family altar time is not an old-fashioned thing. You ought to have it together. How many of you dads aren't even praying with your family? Don't say it out loud. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to make you mad. I've come tonight just to try to help you tonight. How many of you dads don't even pray with your family? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. There could be some dads within the sound of my voice. You don't even pray with your family. Maybe there's somebody here that you don't even lead in prayer at the supper table. I'm telling you right now, it's time to tighten up. Lead them. Guide them. Amen. Show them what a godly man is. Guide them to the house of the Lord. If there's anything I would love to see accomplished this week, Brother Ivy, it's this. I'm going to be honest. Can I just cut the chase? I want to see souls saved. But let me tell you how this revival's been for me as a speaker. This revival's been about the church. And I'm just trusting if somebody needs to get saved, they will. And that God will draw. But my focus has been on the church this week. And if there's anything I could tell y'all that's on my heart, and as a preacher and as a pastor, it's gnawing at me so bad. It's dedication again at the house of God. It's dedication at the house of God. I'm hoping some dads and some families will hear me right now. If you miss everything I say, would you do this? I hope there'll be some families that will commit, that will commit, that will commit, that will commit and mean it, that will commit to be serving in this church diligently and to the best of your ability every time the doors are open, that you'll stand behind this pastor and that you'll serve in this church. Hey, this is a novel item. Some of you ought to try coming to a business meeting. You know what they do in our church? Don't you tell them I said this. They'll stone me to death. Please don't tell them I said this. They'll get madder than fire. I don't care, but anyway, I'm going to tell you. You know what they do in our church? We have business meeting on Wednesday night. Praise God, some Wednesday nights we'll have a good crowd, 60 maybe. There has been times, maybe more. I don't know, maybe 50, maybe 60 sometimes on a Wednesday night. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, usually have a good crowd. I'm trying to bring home a point. At the end of Wednesday night prayer meeting, when the service is ended, then we start the business meeting when it's business meeting night. They scatter like a covey of quail. It's like somebody just set off a stink bomb. And you were looking at 50 people, and then when you say, we now consider ourselves in a time of business, boom, they're gone. They go out of every door. And I look at, there's 12 people. And it's the same 12. And praise God for them. What are you saying, Brother Tim? Are you just trying to get on my nerves? When you join this church, you made a commitment to this church. You ought to be at the business meetings. You ought to be supporting the programs of this church. Hey, some of you don't even know what the pastor makes. There's tons of people at our church that don't even know what my pastor's salary is. I'm not saying that, Brother Ivy didn't know I was going to say that. He's probably going to slap me. You know, that's a personal thing. But my point is, it's not personal for the members of this church. Did you know everything about the finances of this church as a member of this church and about the programs of this church? You got a pastor that welcomes you to the business meetings. But it's not just that. What about Sunday school? Sunday school is where your children grow. That's where you grow. And you know what? We need to be leading them there. Can I get a witness? Amen. Folks, let me tell you something. Hey, we're going to have an opportunity only once, and that opportunity is going to be gone. Did you know those two midwives only had one opportunity to do this? You know what we do? We're always looking in the future. Well, I want to do this later on. You know, I'm going to serve the Lord later on when I get older. When you get older, you won't have enough energy to serve the Lord like you can today. That don't mean you can't. Don't get me wrong. Older people, don't get mad with me what I just said now. But we plant, because I feel old. Okay, I can't run anymore. You know why? I'm too fat. I wished I'd have done a lot more running when I was young. One of the first things, when I'm going to get to heaven, I'm going to run. I'm going to jump. I'm going to do a dance. See, I got tired right then. And that's what we say we'll do. You know what we do? We spend all of our lives when we're young trying to gain wealth. Listen to me. You young couples, you're spending all of your life trying to gain wealth. And then when you get older, if God allows you to get older and retire, then you'll spend all of your wealth trying to regain your health. And that don't mean there's not a place for the senior citizen. But let me tell you something, folks. The senior citizens still should work in a church. Senior citizens still have the say. As a matter of fact, I hold the seniors in our church in a more prominent place than any others because the Bible says to do that. The Bible says to honor the gray head. I'm supposed to look to the seniors. I'm supposed to look to Brother JB, and I'm supposed to show reverence, and I'm supposed to show respect to him. You know why? He knows more than I do. Y'all with me? Say amen. But there has to come a time where we take it serious, and we come along, amen. It's kind of like one of those relay races. Y'all ever watch those? I used to see them in high school. What was the event where they would run around the track, and they had the batons? What's that thing called? Boy, I wish I could remember. It don't matter, but y'all got it. Hey, that you would run, and if I remember correctly how the race worked, there would be people waiting around the track at stations, and you're running your part, and then what you do, does it work like this? Y'all correct me because I don't remember. I think what you do, you hand the baton off, don't you? Or is it forward? I don't care. But the thing is, there's somebody waiting, and you hand the baton off, they're fresh, boom, boy, they take off. That don't mean you've quit. Amen? But here's what's happening. My generation and the older ones, we're trying to hand off a baton, and there ain't no hand reaching for it. There's nobody's hand reaching out. I'm trying to hand the baton off to a younger hand, and I can't find the hand. And I'm groping, where's the hand? Amen. And we've got to get serious. Those two midwives were sold out to the fear and devotion of Jesus Christ. It's a perfect picture of what we should be today in the service of the Lord. Folks, let me tell you something. Hey, if you should live to be 70, if you should live to be 80, some of you are already past that. I can't imagine living to be 80 years old the way I feel today. But I'm telling you, if I should live to be 80 and I compare that to eternity, what is it? It's a vapor. It's less than a vapor. And this is the only opportunity I'm going to ever have in this particular life position to serve God in the church age in this old clay of flesh and to be able to carry the gospel to the lost and the dying. Young couples, listen to me. I'm not trying to beat you up, but will you listen to me? You young Christian couples, listen to me. You young Christian people that are singles, listen to me. You expect lost people to do something sometimes that you won't even do. And I don't say that to hurt you. I've been guilty of it. You know what we want our lost friends to do? You know what you want your lost relatives to do? I've said it before, haven't you? I've looked at my wife and said, Becky, why can't so-and-so just see and talking about a lost relative? Why can't they just go to church and just get it? You know, if they got in church, if they would just go, if they would just get under the preaching, if they would just listen to the preaching of the cross, they'd get saved. Why don't they just come? If they would come, well, one of the reasons, maybe I'm not inviting them, but the second thing is, I ought to be. But a lot of times we expect lost people to do something we won't even do. Folks, if you're going to win the lost in this community, you're going to have to show them that Jesus is worth serving. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus said, if any man, and that includes the women too, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Boy, that's something we don't want to do. You know what that is? That's hard. I'm going to be the first to admit that's a hard thing to do. There's times I come home at schoolhouse, I told somebody today, I think it was a brother sitting in front of him, and says, well, did you have a good day? Any time you can survive public school, you've had a good day. When I first started teaching, there was a man, he'd been there for many years. He since passed away, and he was teaching with me. I was a young teacher 20 years ago. He says, Tim, how many years have you been teaching? I said, 2. He says, you'll never make it. He'd tell me that about once a month. And I'm thinking, boy, that's... That's nice. And now I understand what he's talking about. Amen. I'm wondering, am I going to make it 9 more years? God, if you'll just let me make it 9 more years. I got a bunch of sick days piled up, you know, if I don't have to use them. But anyway, there's times I come in from that schoolhouse. And there's the first thing I want to do, y'all. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've got me one of them big old, what's one of them imitation what's that thing called, Becky, that I drink? What? Yeah, I've got an imitation Yeti cup. I got it from Walmart, $9.90. Sister Becky's got the real Yeti. Mine keeps ice just as good as hers. I'm a cheapskate. So the first thing I want to do when I get home from school, I can tell you my ritual. I want to run in there. I'm going to grab that Yeti cup, fill it up with tea and ice. And I want to run to that recliner. Run. I got me one of them. It's an old Lazy Boy. You can't get them anymore. The new ones won't hold up to a full-size economy type person like myself. But that's where I get my exercise. I hit that recliner and I do those leg extensions. Y'all with me? Say amen. If Joseph's in the recliner, I throw him out. I just catch him. He's out of there. And what I want to do, man, I'm dead tired. You with me? Say amen. and I want to get my tea and I want to sit. I don't care what they're doing. The family can be watching TV. She can be vacuuming under the chair. I don't care what they're doing. I'll be gone. That's about 4 o'clock. Praise God, if my message is ready by that time, and usually I hope it is by Wednesday night, somebody give me an amen. I'll look around and say, hold on a minute, it's time to go to church. We drive 35 miles one way. Driving here is about the same amount of distance as I drive. I'm not trying to get sympathy now. We love going to church. I can't imagine not going to church. It would put me in some kind of shock. But there's times, I'm going to be honest with you, that I want to just... I could probably call Brother Eddie. Maybe he could just come up with a message because he fills in for me. I just flat am tired. I don't think nobody would get mad if I do it a time or two. But you know what I found? If you get up and go and put one foot in front of the other, I've never regretted going to the house of God. Now, I've been through a few business meetings where, you know, they wasn't the funnest in the world. Somebody should have called them off. But I've never regretted going to the house of the Lord. Never regretted it. Always got a blessing. Brother Tim, that's you. You're the pastor. No, sir. It's all of us. You are just as responsible for faithful church attendance as your pastor, or, you know, in that case, that's Brother Ivy, or our folks. Please, folks, this lost community is dependent on you. I'm going to close with this. I'll never forget, there was a couple, and if some of y'all may know them, and I hope it's not it won't embarrass, because I'm just telling you, out of the love from my heart. There's a couple that lives in Hoboken, Thomas and Sandra Harris. You know them. Thomas and Sandra's gone through a lot of devastating trials in life. But let me tell you something about Thomas and Sandra. Thomas is close to my mama's age, maybe not quite as old as my mama. Him and Sandra is older than I am by far. Let me tell you something about those two people. When I was a little boy, my grandma, every time she could, she'd try to carry me to Mount Calvary. She wanted me to go to vacation Bible school. She wanted me to go to Sunday school when I could. You see, grandma wanted me to hear the gospel, amen. She wanted me to hear the great story of how our Savior died for us on Calvary and rose again the third day. And when we go to church, Thomas and Sandra Harris, it always seemed that I would wind up in their class. Thomas and Sandra was faithful to teach kids. They taught me in vacation Bible school. They taught me in Sunday school. Thomas and Sandra gave me my first Bible when I was, I was 6, 7, 8 years old somewhere. I still got the Bible. It's a little brown Bible. And they signed it and they gave it to me. And I don't remember all the stuff they taught me. I promise you, I don't. But I do remember this. They would tell me, Tim, I was a little old boy. They said, Tim, if you'll invite Jesus into your heart, he'll come in. Thank God for people like that. Tim, if you'll ask Jesus to come in, he'll come in. Tim, you know, if you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, he'll come in and he'll save you. We've got to have some more like Thomas and like Sandra. I'm telling you, folks, the time is drawing short. Whatever you're going to do for the Lord, do it today. Don't delay. We're about to have a time of invitation. I don't know how normally the musicians come, Brother Ivy. But I want to say this to you. We're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment. Wait a minute. Before you stand, musicians, come. Please listen to me. If your service has waned, if you've grown a little cold and callous toward the things of God, these altars are wide open. And I'm telling you what, all you got to do is come back and say, Father, I'm here. I'm reporting for service. Forgive me where I failed you, Lord. Forgive me the shortcoming, but I am reporting for duty, and he'll forgive you, and he'll put you right back in business. And I'm telling you what, you're talking about an encouragement to this church and this pastor. If you come in and say, Pastor, Brother Ivy, you pray for me. It's my desire to be more faithful to the vow I made to this church when I joined it. And I want you to come. Maybe there's someone here today you've never accepted the Lord. You've never accepted Jesus. Maybe you're depending on baptism. I'm talking about water baptism. Maybe you were baptized and you think that's what it means to be saved. I'm telling you, I've come to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, water baptism will never save. It never has saved. It won't save anybody. If you're depending on water baptism, you're undone. Joining a church never saved anybody. Shaking a preacher's hand never saved anybody. If you're going to be saved, you're going to have to say, I do to Jesus. Pray that sinner's prayer. Pray, God, I know I'm a sinner. Y'all stand to your feet if you will. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Tonight I want to ask you a couple of questions, and you don't have to do anything in the world. I can't make you do anything, but I would hope tonight that you'd be honest with yourself and with the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. I don't want you to say it out loud, but if you would agree to answer the question, would you answer it before God in prayer in your heart? I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, shedding his blood in payment for your sins? Do you believe he did that for you? If you believe that in your heart of hearts, would you say, I do? And now listen, if you don't believe it, then by all means, don't confess it. But if you do believe that, would you say, I do? In your heart of hearts. Let me ask you another question. Do you believe after he gave up the ghost on Calvary, he cried, Father, it is finished. And the Bible says he died on the cross. They took his lifeless body down to the cross and they placed him in a borrowed tomb. And the Bible says 3 days later, he arose from the dead. If you believe that in your heart of hearts, say, I do. I do. You've just confessed that you believe the gospel of grace. There's only one thing left to do if you don't know where you're going to go when you die. I'm telling you, nail it down tonight. If you don't have peace about it, simply pray in childlike faith. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Nobody has to tell me that, Lord. But Lord, the best way I know how, I'm asking you to save me tonight. Jesus Christ, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. You prayed that tonight in a minute. Could I challenge you to pray one more thing if you agree? Would you pray this if you agree? Lord, thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, tonight as the invitation is here, as Brother Ivy stands, Father, I just pray, God, for the church. This is your precious body. This is your church. And Father, you love us so much. Now, Father, let us serve you. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Bless now, Father, as only you can. In Jesus' name and amen. Maybe someone should come tonight and say, hey, if you got saved, you ought to come and tell. Amen? Come up here and tell Brother Ivy, I just got saved. If you did, amen, Brother Ivy.